You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
1 Corinthians 2:12-14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Father, we thank you as we come aside now to your word. We pray the blessing that it may achieve in our heart as we yield to it and we seek your will for our life. We might honor you. So, Father, take the things of Christ and make them real so we might walk in a faith that is holy and acceptable. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We've started a study on the flesh and the spirit. We've started a study on the two natures that come from a book that Bullinger wrote called The Two Natures and the Child of God. And this last week I was talking to one of my friends that is a Christian. And he said, I said to him as we were talking, I said, are you familiar with the old man and the new man in Scripture? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, which one am I talking to right now? And we just laughed. He paused for a moment and he just laughed because that's the dilemma, isn't it? Which one am I talking to right now? And his final answer is, he says, you know, I don't know. I know this, though. I am a sinner saved by grace. And I said, that's good enough for me. That is kind of an interesting dilemma. We do fight with that, don't we? I mean, who is it that's trying to orchestrate these things in our life? Who is it that's talking, really talking to us? And when you're talking to someone else, whether it's your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife or your child, when you're talking to them, who is that talking back to you? Well, I'll tell you, It is the natural man. It is that old nature. Don't be deceived. And as good and as great as it is, that comes forth out of the lips and you think is coming forth from the heart, you'll never know until you'll see their deeds. Isn't that what our Lord said? He said, by their fruit you shall know them. And doesn't he identify for us the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh? So you won't know. They can talk in the Spirit really a good talk. And you know what I mean. I mean, we got plenty of examples of that. Watch what a man says? No. Watch what a man does. That's how you know. That's how you know. Now, that's later on. We're going to get to that. It's several weeks away. We're going to talk about the things that deal with the upward look and the inward look and the outward look. We're going to talk about the things that deal with the flesh, too. But that's not where we are now. In our study of this conflict that's in our nature, the two natures that we have, in this study, we're in lesson number 3 now. We have looked at the fact that there is a conflict. So let's look at it real quick. We'll just kind of go back to John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, our Lord said when he was here in the flesh to Nicodemus in verse 6. In John chapter 3, verse 6, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you have a hard time with that, if you don't understand that, you're not alone. Nicodemus didn't understand it. Here was a wise Pharisee who was a member of the Sanhedrin, who was a teacher of Israel, and he didn't understand it until he was born of the Spirit, because he was still born of the flesh. The fleshly man, the natural man, has no understanding of these things. That's why he had such a difficult time. But you who have been born again, and that's what we looked at last week, you who've been born again by faith, you understand this. Not that you walk in it day in and day out in the Spirit, because many times we find we walk in the flesh. And we talked about the flesh. Now, is there any good thing in the flesh? No. God says there's no good thing in the flesh. Can the flesh please God? God says no, the flesh can't please God. Is there any profit in the flesh? God says no. Now that's hard for me to grasp. Not really grasp as much as it is to accept. Because I try so hard. Don't you? I try to be pleasing to Him. I try to do what I think He wants me to do. But you know, many times once I analyze it, I go back and I review it, I do it according to what Derek said instead of what saith the Lord. See, that's the problem. We don't spend enough time knowing what He says to know whether or not what we're doing is in accordance with what He said. That's why we have that conflict. That's why there's no peace. That's why there's no joy. That's why we're frustrated when we have the wrong president elected. And we fret as if God had no control over that. Duh. That's what you call a forehead slapper. Is not God in control of those things? Sure He is. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. It gets more difficult, though. You have financial difficulty. Is God not in control of those things? Yes. You have marital problems. You have family problems with your children or a brother or a sister. Is not God in control of those things? Yes. You have illness. You have physical dilemmas. Is not God in control of those things, even to the point that one dies who you love dearly and God took them? You don't like that. I don't like that. We fret against it. God doesn't know what He's doing. David was angry when Uzzah, is that his name? Reached up and grabbed the ark. Go with me over there. Go, 2 Samuel. Let's try 2 Samuel 6. Yeah, 2 Samuel 6. The ark had been lost in the war to the Philistines. And the Philistines didn't want it because God kept plaguing them. And they gave the ark back. David went to get the ark, and he sent this new cart. Ark wasn't supposed to be born on a cart. Supposed to be born by the men God had established to bear it. You know, there were rules and regulations God set up for that ark. It was born on a cart. And that cart was going down the road, and it hit a bump. And the ark started to fall out of the cart. Verse 6. When they came to Nacon's fleshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, because God said, no man touches the ark. The ark even had these little ringlets in it, and they put these long wooden posts in it, and that's how they were supposed to carry the ark. They were not to touch the ark. Uzzah was doing the right thing, but he was doing it the wrong way. It wasn't so much Uzzah's fault as it was David's fault, because they put it on a cart. It wasn't supposed to be carried that way. So Uzzah gets blamed for it, and that's kind of sad, but God's still in control, isn't He? Verse 7, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him right there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And look at verse 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had broken forth in anger against Uzzah. Now David's totally out of place here. David is operating in what, and from a horizontal perspective, is plausible. You know, we'd say, you know, David's right, that was wrong. God shouldn't have smote Uzzah. He was doing the right thing. But he's doing it the wrong way. We're not to fret. We're not to be angry about God. God is in control. And so whenever we see ourselves at odds with that, whenever we see our joy broken, now don't misunderstand me. There is a time when there is righteous anger. there is a time when there is a proper response that may not seem like it is heavenly from an earthly point of view. Okay? But it is. And we're not to ignore that. We're to do it. But whenever we find ourselves at odds with God and fretting about what He's doing, that's when we're in the flesh. That's when the natural man is taking control. Let's look at the natural man real quick. Let's go back to our reading in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God." Now that's what we covered last week. Last week we looked at that. We looked at faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's in that that we have then established in us not a seed that's corruptible, but the incorruptible seed that comes from the Word of God. It is that new nature. It is that new creation. Has nothing to do with the flesh. Has nothing to do with the natural man. It is that part of us that is spiritual. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And it is tuned in. It is keyed into the things of God. Now, it doesn't just take over our life and all of a sudden we've got hidden wings on our back and we float around. No, we still have this old nature that battles against this new nature. But notice the new nature. It says this new nature is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, he points that out because the old nature doesn't receive the things of God, cannot know them. Rebels against them, has its own way. But those of us that have this new nature, we are freely given the things of God. But don't forget the caveat. A-S-K. Ask. And it shall what? Be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. See, that's what God says. When I've got wisdom, I've got it. Here it is. It's laid out. It is your responsibility to find it. It is your responsibility to ask for it, to seek it, to knock for it. You do have that. There will be a time, though, when God pours out His flesh, or His Spirit upon all flesh, and guess what? They won't go around telling each other, "Know the Lord," because all of them will know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. But when is that? That's when Israel is brought back into the prophetic program of God to be the blessing of God to the nations. But right now, we have an obligation. That's what the Spirit is in tune with. That's what the Spirit knows. But it is an enlightenment. That word "know" there is not just gnosko, to know. It is to know by being enlightened. Epigenosko. To know because the light of God has shined into an area of your life where the darkness is dispelled. These things God freely gives us, but God gives to everyone who asks and seeks. But you've got to seek with the Spirit and not the flesh. If you seek with the flesh, then all of a sudden you become wanting to achieve your will and your purpose, and you pray in error. James talks about it. You ask because you want to spend the result of the prayer request on your own self instead of the things of God. So you ask amiss. That's sin. That is real sin in our life. Not seeking the will of God. Oh, we talk about it. Oh, Lord, thy will be done. But then we go and exercise whose will? What did our Lord pray in the garden? He meant it. Not my will, but thy will be done. He meant it so much, he went all the way with it. Had ample opportunity. Did he not? I mean, in the very beginning of his ministry, the devil came and said, "Hey, if you'll just worship me, I'll just give you all these nations. You don't have to go do anything else." Wasn't the will of God. Okay. Notice in verse 13. Which things, speaking of the things of God, we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I saw this guy one night they were talking about this movie, I think it was called Mean Girls or something like that, and it was some high school girls that started a Bible study, and And it was a terrible portrayal. What do you expect from Hollywood? A terrible portrayal of Christians. And this guy, I think it was one of the Baldwin boys. And you know the Baldwin actors. And this is, I think, maybe the youngest. He's born again. He's a Christian. And he said, you know, the one thing I find is that Christians falter. When they have a worldly problem, they seek a worldly answer. When a Christian has a worldly problem, he needs to seek a spiritual answer to that worldly problem. That's the key. That's the answer that God has for it. It may not match up with what the world wants, what the world says, what the world expects, or what you've been taught and what you've been learned. It may be contrary to everything that you know is logical, reasonable, and expected. But if you don't follow what God says, you know what you miss? You miss the blessing of God. If you follow the way of the flesh, what God says about that is that whatever is sown to the flesh, they'll reap corruption from the flesh. They'll inherit the wind. That which is sown in the Spirit will reap that which is in the Spirit. You'll get the blessing of God. David wrote in Psalms chapter 1. This hit me one time in law school. Blessed is the man that stands not in the way. Now I've totally forgotten it. Let's go there. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Counsel, that was it. Walks not in the counsel. Gosh, I knew I started off wrong. If you start off wrong, just stop. Kind of hard for us guys, you know. We take that wrong turn. No, we're all right. I'll get us there. Well, Sherry can tell you some stories about that. I spent 2 hours and we were 15 minutes away from the hotel when we started. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he doth meditate every Sunday morning. Oh, just hammered me, didn't it? That's wrong, isn't it? Okay, it's day and night. See, and I was in law school at that time. Here I am day and night studying these cases and prepping and briefing about plaintiffs and defendants and rules and facts. And I thought, you know, I don't spend enough time in the Word of God. You miss the blessing when you're not walking in the Spirit. Okay, come back to 1 Corinthians. But the natural man in verse 14 is the one we want to look at. Now what we're looking at, there are different names given to this old nature. Let's just call it's an old nature. It's supposed to be a dead nature, a crucified nature, but you know what? It's still there. You know it's still there because the conflict is still there. How do I say this? I won't even mess with it. No. Let's look at this. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the key. The natural man is just another name for the old nature, just like the flesh is another name for the old nature. It's just like the old man. You know, put off the old man and put on the new man. The old man is just another name for that old nature. And that's what we're looking at. The natural man really is the Adamic man. It's the man who is unregenerated and doesn't know God, who does not accept the things of God. He can't, because he cannot receive the things of God. Now look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why is that? Because he is not spirit. He's still flesh. He's still Adam. So when things like a soft word turns away wrath, we talked about that last week, are utilized in this context, all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, reproof is don't do that. You know, you really shouldn't raise your voice. Or, you know, it takes two to fight. Why do you want to keep that, you know, have that last word? So that's reproof. You're with somebody and they're saying, "Man, I've just got all these problems with da 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 da." And let's say it's the conflict, and they just are going to have their way and say what they want to say. And you say, "You know, God says a soft word turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." See, now that's correction. Reproof is say, "Don't do that." Correction is, "Here's what you do." Too many times, we instruct, but we don't show them the next step after instruction. I always had this problem in math. I have a degree in mathematics from graduate or undergraduate work. And the biggest problem I had with math was that we would learn these formulas or these theorems or the equations of things like isosceles triangle. Okay, I know that. And I know how those angles work with those sides and everything. And how you can drop a perpendicular and create right angles and all that. But then it never made any sense because it had no what? Practical application in life. Then I became an appraiser and I went, "Oh, hey, I can do this. Look, remember the old isosceles triangle and how you, So it was amazing how that worked. But when I was learning it, I thought, "Well, this is a waste of time." I even asked the dean of the math department one day. I said, "What am I going to do with this degree in mathematics?" He said, "Derek, it's not a trade school. We're a liberal arts college. We've taught your mind how to think and reason, and we've honed it a little bit, and that's what you're going to use it for. It's not plumbing. It's not electrical, where you learn how to strip, conduit, and how you learn how to read amps and gauges and things like that. You can go to that kind of a school." But really, I think what I'm trying to say is that when you give instruction or when you give reproof, you need to give correction so that people can learn how to walk in the Word of God. But more importantly, we need to give it to ourselves. And the only way we can do it is if we spend time in the Word of God. But the natural man doesn't even receive correction. He looks at reproof and goes, "Huh, that's good for you, but that's not the way I see things." You give him correction and he says, "No, this is the way I'm going to do it. You do it your way." Because he'll never receive the things of God. Because to him, the things of God are foolish. That's what it says. Look at the next phrase. "The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." They're foolish. He has no perspective of the importance of his own soul when he is confronted with the preaching of the cross. He thinks his soul lives only for the moment, to eat, drink, and be merry, and to be all that he can be or she can be for the moment, because every moment they just flip from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, without any eternal purpose involved in it. That's foolishness to them, to think that they would sacrifice for today some gain tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come, is their thought. That's foolishness unto them. We're not talking about somebody who's ignorant. We're talking about men and women who are intelligent, smart, who have degrees, who've gone to college, who run businesses, who run large corporations. A fool isn't somebody who's an idiot. A fool is somebody who despises the wisdom of God. That's a fool. Turn with me over to Proverbs. Let's look at this just for a moment. Because, see, the natural man, and you go, "Well, the natural man, Derek, if the natural man is unregenerated, has not born again, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not the natural man. I'm the new man." Yes, you are. But you still have the natural man, and that's the conflict. Just like you have the flesh and you have the old nature. And it's not just in big sins. It's not, "I haven't killed anybody and I haven't committed adultery. I haven't committed any kind of false witnesses. I'm not telling any lies." But think of the other things that you do. Anytime that you're at variance with God, think of the foolishness there is in that. And David was a wonderful man. David was a man, the testimony in Scripture, who was after God's own heart. Now, that doesn't mean David had a heart for God. It means he sought it. He seeked it. He wanted to know it. But David still had the old nature. He still did things that the old man does. In Proverbs chapter 1, notice in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Now, that fear has a double side to it, and I think one side is, by golly, you better be afraid when he gets angry what he can do, and not just for the moment, but throughout all eternity. You know, the probability of being punished, or the possibility of being punished for the rest of your life, eternally, by the wrath of God, should weigh heavy on everybody's soul. The fear of the Lord. But it's not just that. It's also, really the word here means reverence. It's to honor Him, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who put the stars in the sky, who set the sun and the moon in motion, who gave us the seasons, who did all of this, who even has given us life and has blessed us above the animal kingdom and above the plant kingdom so that we have a consciousness and we know there is a God. To reverence Him. To not be so stupid and say in our heart, there is no God, because it's only the fool who says there is no God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look at verse 29, same chapter. Because they hate knowledge and do not choose the fear of the Lord, what? Well, back up to verse 26. God says, I will laugh at them when they are in a calamity. See, that's the natural man. That's the man that you fight against. When God gives wisdom and God gives instruction, but it goes against all that reason and logic that the world has to give and the world's wisdom. Even if you've got to come right back to that basic point, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, that's a great answer by my friend. Because who knows who's talking? Who knows if it's the old man or the new man? Till you see their works. By their fruit, you shall know them. Now, am I talking about salvation? No. I'm talking about a presence of the activity of the Spirit in a man's life that demonstrates that his Spirit, God's Spirit, bears witness with that man or woman's spirit. Because there is fruit that comes from that. Go over to chapter 14 of Proverbs. You want a vitamin a day, read a chapter a day. Do I read a chapter a day in Proverbs? No. Was the time I did. Okay, get a little pat on the back. But now it comes sporadically because there's other things that I read. But if you are new into the Word of God and you really want to grow into these areas, just read it, read it, read it. I heard a guy challenge a woman this weekend. He said, she just had nothing that she wanted to hear from him, unbeliever. And he said, okay, I realize you're not going to listen to anything I got to say, but I'll tell you one thing you could do. You take the book of John and you read it every day. 3 chapters every day for a month. You just read it. He said, in a week, she called him and received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Let the Word of God do its effect. Isn't that what created you? Yeah. See, faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God. By grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. But see, it's hearing that, then that new seed is created, that new nature. Chapter 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. You know, pride, we get pride. You ever had pride? I've had pride. I don't need to tell you. You've got your own experience with pride. You don't need to hear about my experience with it. But pride is deceitful above everything. Pride is really replacing God's will with your own will. And pride, what is it Obadiah says? You can look this up. Obadiah, I think it's in verse 3 about pride. You've got to look that up sometime. And what is it that comes before destruction, Paul teaches? Pride. What is it that comes before a fall? pride. Pride is so deceitful. Here in verse 8, the first part is beautiful. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. I need to understand my way. I don't really need to understand your way. That's between you and God. It's no different than when the battle was going on and Joshua was down in the valley fighting and Moses was up on the rock praying. Moses had his way. Joshua had his way. And it's not that Moses was a coward and had no courage, and it wasn't that Joshua couldn't pray. It was that was the way at the moment God delivered them. Joshua was to be in the fight, and Moses was to be in the prayer. You see what I'm saying? So it is the wisdom of the prudent is to know his way. The first thing you need to know is that there is a battle that goes on with that way. That's why God says, blessed is the man that stands not in the counsel or walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Stay away from that. Avoid it, he says in Proverbs. Pass by it. Don't even get near it. You've got to know your way. Okay? If you have a problem with drinking, know your way. If you have a problem with gossip, know your way. Defend yourself against the devil when he begins to use it. He's smart. He knows how to utilize these things. He knows what your weakness is. That's why Paul says, put on the whole armor. Don't just take up one today because, you know, there's another area that's exposed. If you just picked up one, picked up your shield, and you didn't have your feet shod. Let me tell you, Achilles had something happen to his heel. Be protected completely. Put on the whole armor of God. And the second part of this, I love this. He says, but the folly of fools is deceit. They love that. They relish in it. That is the joy of their life. They're not interested in any instruction of God. They don't want any boundaries, no matter how safe and protective they are. See, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. The natural man is sensual. He's of the flesh. He's a man whose wisdom is not from above. His wisdom is from below. He's a man who enjoys strife. He enjoys envy. He enjoys things being stirred up. He doesn't like things that are not in chaos. He wants chaos in his life. Oh, he seems like a good old guy. But he's not. He's a natural man. He's an Adamic man. He is contrary to the Word of God. And he never, never, never blames himself. Adam found, after disobedience, hiding naked behind the trees. And God says, where are you? And he says, I'm hiding because I was naked. And he said, who told you you're naked? And he said, hey, the woman made me eat. First of all, he didn't say who told him he was naked. Second off, he didn't say, I ate, and I'm sorry, and confess the sin or anything like that. He said, you know, the woman. So he turns to the woman, and she says, the serpent. So, I mean, you know, they both just act the same way. We do that to ourselves. You know, we literally have an avenue like Cain did to repent. Remember Cain? What did he do to Abel? He killed him. God went to him before he killed him. Because, see, what Cain did is he was in the natural man, and he offered something that was not acceptable to God. He offered the fruit of the ground. Abel brought to God the offer of sacrifice, innocent blood. God had taught them. Adam had taught them. They knew what it was. But Cain said, no, man, I'm a farmer. I got this on. This is what I'm going to give him, my fruit. God came to him before. He said, sin lies at your door. He always gives you an opportunity. And even afterwards, he gives you an opportunity because he's a God of grace. You make a mistake, he says, if you'll confess your sin, God is just and faithful, and he'll forgive you of your sin. That doesn't mean you keep on sinning because you never confess it. If you keep on sinning, you quit. You stop. Cain had that opportunity. God gives us that opportunity. In the Spirit, we can do that. The natural man wants to have nothing to do with it. We're going to stop. I'm halfway through I wanted to get to the old man because the old man is full of fleshly lusts. I want to talk a little bit about those and identifying who he is, because every one of these names that we have, the flesh for the old nature, the natural man for the old nature, the old man, the carnal mind, all of these things that we're going to look at, and there's seven of them. We just looked at two. These things we're going to look at, all of them, even though they have a name, they have a characteristic to them. And here we see the natural man is a fool, because it's the fool who has said in his heart, there is no God. Let's pray. Father, do thank you as you bless us today with your word, and as your word entices us to lust after it, to desire it, to seek your will, to find your purpose, to walk in the Spirit. We thank you as you meet each heart need, and we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.